Third hour here on this Thursday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great day to this point. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Now we're joined by one of D-Mace's teammates back in the day, former Titans linebacker Keith Bullock is on the line with us. Keith, we've been talking all week, and I said I still believe the three times this franchise has been the number one seed since they've been in Nashville, that the toughest one to swallow was your rookie season, that 2000 team, because it was obviously coming off a run to the Super Bowl the prior year. You were the best. You had the best record in the NFL that season, 13-3, and you looked like you were primed to get back there. That was still the toughest, although this one was not any easier on Saturday. But what were your overall thoughts of how it played out Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, first, thanks for having me. And, you know, I think just to how you started off, I think it's all relative. D-Mace might say 2000 obviously hurt more. Me, I was a rookie. D-Mace was actually involved. 08, you know, we started off 10-0, got home field, 13-3, yep. Best team in football. You know, so that one hurt me too. But what D-Mace did not do this past week, he did not drink the Kool-Aid for the Titans, because I actually saw him before the game, and I drank the Kool-Aid. So, like, I guess I felt like the fans did, you know, after the game and the next day. And it's unfortunate because I like what this Titans team has done. You know, the last 3 years, they've progressively gotten better. Ryan Tannehill showed that he can, you know, control the team and win some games and however fashion is done, you know, and get home field advantage. So that's 3 years in a row we've made the playoffs, has different experiences. You would think that, you know, those past experiences would really, you know, get the Titans over the hump. You know, and I said before the beginning of the season, Ryan Tannehill, when it came to the playoffs, he would just have to make 3 to 5 plays in order for the Titans to win. And I just think that it didn't go, obviously, in the quarterback's favor, and it didn't go in the team's favor. But at the same time, you know, when you dissect it, he may have, like, I feel like the play calling was a little bit limited. I don't feel like, you know, a lot was done in, you know, the offense's favor to kind of open up the playbook and kind of make Cincinnati's defense respect maybe the Titans' overall offense, just not just their running game.
What did you see? Let's go with the first pass that was attempted in the game for Ryan Tannehill. What did you see on that play action play, just through your eyes, playing defense and Bates having the interception?
Oh, man, that's crazy. That's funny you say that. I was actually at the game sitting in the stands, and it unfolds slower. So I actually saw the route coming, and in my head, I was like, I know he's not throwing, and then he threw it. And then, you know, that was the play. I just saw that, you know, obviously the first drive, the first 15 plays are scripted. That was the play that he knew he was going to come out and run. And it just tells me in his head, however long he was thinking about that first play, that's where he was going no matter what, just based upon taking the snap, dropping back, and looking in that direction the whole time. And Cincinnati was sitting heavy on any comeback routes from the first play to the last play of the game.
You played on some pretty special defenses here, Keith. How do you sum up what that defense did on Saturday with 9 sacks and just everything up front? You know what it's like to watching those guys in front of you at that position winning the wars in the trenches. The Titans certainly did that. But what did you see out of the defense? And then I'm going to ask you to kind of – what did you see this season through your linebacker eyes from that position? But start with the guys up front.
Well, I mean, up front, they handled their business all year round. And, you know, I know they brought Jim Schwartz in as a defensive assistant, and I don't know what role he played. But what I do know and what looked familiar to this defense all year, they put pressure on the quarterback from a 4-man pass rush. And for the 8 years that Jim Schwartz was our defensive coordinator here, all we used was the 8-man pass rush. Last year and the years before, they were more so of a 3-4 multiple front blitz disguise team to put pressure on the ball. But I like how Kevin Byard stepped up early in the year. He wasn't happy with his play last year, stepped his game up, became an all pro, and he brought his whole defense with them. Last year and maybe the year before, they were maybe a little bit of the Achilles heel when they got in the playoffs. But, you know, you can only speak good things about the Titans' defense, and obviously they have a lot of building blocks to build off of. You just have to see what type of moves they make in the offseason.
And what did you see from the linebacking position as a whole this season?
As a whole, I saw a lot of inconsistency. You know, you would expect Jayon and Rashad to take steps, especially Rashad being in a contract year, and they kind of played pretty much even keel when they were in the lineup. Obviously, there were a lot of injuries. David Long Jr., he played well when he was in the lineup. I think he was the most productive linebacker. He and Zach Cunningham, who came on late, were the most productive as the season tailed off. And Zach Cunningham seemed to, just in the few games or maybe the handful of games that he came over to play with the Titans, I really look forward to see what he's going to bring to the table next year, because just by Rashad being a healthy scratch on Saturday, the writing's on the wall for him, and obviously we don't know what they're going to do with Jayon. But, I think the linebacker play was a little inconsistent. They got the job done, but it solidified as the season went on and later towards the year.
Now, Keith, we did run into each other, and you said, "I'm going to the game. Are you going?" I'm like, no.
Right.
They get to the AFC Championship game, yeah, then I will go. But it was just, you know, for me, this game, even though a lot of people said this was tailor-made for the Titans to win, and I thought so too, to an extent, but it was one of those games where it was almost as if no one, and I mean no one, was giving Cincinnati an opportunity. And we've been a part of those situations where no one's given us an opportunity, and we sort of fueled off of that and end up winning football games. Why? Because no one's given us an opportunity to win.
Yeah, and look, teams like that, if you let them stick around, they are going to find a way, you know. And Cincinnati's not a bad team. Week 17, they went up there and went blow for blow with Kansas City. So they're a young team, and obviously the legend of Joe Burrow continues to grow. But I just like to see in that situation, man, you know, the Kansas City-Buffalo game, it was Pat Mahomes versus Josh Allen. This game, it's, you know, Ryan Tannehill versus Joe Burrow. And Ryan Tannehill, as the veteran who's been in this situation, he has to take it upon himself, take it personal, and, you know, just go out and win the game. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. It's always easier said than done. And D-Mace, you were one of the best to do it. You know, that comes down to a mentality. Before the game, during the game, you know, it's just a mentality you have as a player.
Now, how advantageous is it for a linebacker to have someone like Jeffrey Simmons up front? Because, I mean, I've seen it for years, whether it be on our Titans defensive line or, you know, when we would play Baltimore, they had those two big studs in the middle, and it made it easier for Ray Lewis and those guys to get to the ball carrier. We had some studs across the defensive line, and it made it that much easier, you know, for you to be that great linebacker that you was for the Titans. So how important is it to have that guy up front to take on the two offensive linemen and free you up?
It definitely, first of all, anytime you have a dominant defensive lineman, it's a plus for everybody. It makes the ball come out quicker from the secondary standpoint for the linebackers. The run gaps might be cleaner. But, yeah, it really comes down to scheme. I believe in this scheme, yeah, Jeffrey is more of – and it's very impressive that he's able to make the plays that he makes in this scheme, because he has specific assignments, whether it's to hold the gaps like you're speaking of, or just rush the A-gap or the B-gap. He's going out there with specific assignments, you know, on first and second down until it's pass downs, and they do their stunts up front. But from a linebacker standpoint, it's always helpful – to have playmakers up front. And Jeffrey Simmons is, you know, one of the best doing it. Unfortunately, he didn't make the Pro Bowl selection, but he was second-team All-Pro, which says he's one of the top five defensive tackles in the world, and that goes further than a Pro Bowl. So, absolutely, we've had some good ones here in the past, and he's definitely going to be up there amongst some of the good, maybe even one of the best that has come through here when it's all said and done.
We're talking to one of the great Titans in Keith Bullock. And, Keith, I'll just ask you, as they look at their salary cap. There's always tough choices that had to be made. By the end of the year, they had some really interesting guys at inside linebacker, guys who have played a lot, Jayon Brown and Rashawn Evans. They added Zach Cunningham to the mix, and, of course, David Long has really emerged. So if you can't, like, if you're sort of consulting with them, who do you like the best out of those four? And, you know, knowing the situation, you can't keep them all. And I'm really particularly interested in what your thoughts are on Cunningham.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's an easy choice. Like, they brought Cunningham in for a reason because, especially midseason, they didn't feel they were getting the production they needed from the linebacker position. And I said when they brought it, like, anytime they bring somebody in to your classroom at your position, your job is in jeopardy. And I believe David Long Jr., he was balling in the beginning of the year. He got hurt. As soon as they put him back in the lineup, he was balling again. Zach Cunningham came in leading the team in tackles, I believe, his first or second game with the Titans. So those are my two. Obviously, Mr. Evans was on his last year of his deal, and I think Jayon was on the back end of a deal, or he did a one-year deal, or however it worked. But I believe David Long Jr. and Zach Cunningham are the linebackers of the future. Obviously, I'm not privy to know that 1,000%, but based upon the way everything played out at the end of the year, I think I would hang my hat on that.
Last thing for you, I'm just curious, from especially a defender, right? You're out there, the defense and the offense, of course, have to complement one another. When a quarterback struggles like Tannehill did, but he's been the unquestioned leader for a long time. You know, as you sit there and you what you hear a lot, Keith, is, well, I don't know if now you can win the Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill. It's like a lot of people, at least in the short term, as we sit here, they're so frustrated. They have a different outlook on Tannehill than maybe they even did before the game. If you're in that locker room and you know what he's about, you believe in him to a degree, but you've seen the flaws here, how does it affect your outlook on whether he can lead you where you want to go?
If I'm on that team and in that locker room, it doesn't affect me at all. You know, he's our guy. He's our quarterback. He's coming back next year. I'm looking at it like he took us all the way to this spot, as well as the defense played. I guarantee there are people on that defense thinking even today, dang, I could have made a play to help win that game. So as a team, you know, you win as a team, you lose as a team, and unless you want to come back next year and be a terrible team, you're going to back your teammates, win, lose, or draw, because you are, you know, you have a role on that team too, and you can have a bad day one day as well, and you would like to have the support of your team. So a good team really rallies behind, especially their leader, when he's down, you know, the team obviously believes in Ryan like that. It's regardless what we say on the outside, you know, most guys don't necessarily pay attention to that noise. It motivates them. And look, everybody knows each year the goal is to come back and get better. Ryan Tannehill obviously knows he has to just make the plays that he's made in the regular season that he has not been able to do yet in the playoffs. So I think the Titans can get there. Ryan just needs to focus in and make those plays that he hasn't been able to make the last three playoff trips.
Good stuff. Keith, as always, great to catch up with you. Excellent perspective on all this stuff, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Be easy. Be nice.
All right. Well, it's going to be interesting with the whole Tannehill situation. But he is right when it comes to the linebackers. I think Zach Cunningham should be their top priority because he would be the linebacker that most resembles Keith Bullock. I think after Keith, they haven't had a linebacker that has been as rangy as Cunningham, and he showed it. You know, as soon as he got here, you saw the ability that he had to play from sideline to sideline, and you can, you know, play him in the middle if you need to. And the last linebacker I knew that could do that was Keith Bullock.
Let's come back and maybe touch on that a little bit more. When we come back, we'll talk about Cunningham and his contract situation. In the meantime, let me tell you about Lee Company, 615-567-1000. As we know, the Predators resume their season tonight in Edmonton. It's an 8 o'clock start. Darren will start the pregame at 7, and then Pete Weber will have the call with JP Dumont. Lee Company has all kinds of great services. When you come down and watch the Predators in Smashville. You'll see their display. They're very supportive of the team, and they've got a lot of services that can help you in your home. General maintenance is one of them, and home improvement. If you want to do a project to upgrade a bathroom or a kitchen, a bedroom, whatever the case might be, they've got people. They've got that department for you. 615-567-1000. If it's just a fix-it-up situation, they've got that too. You can go online and make an appointment at leadcompany.com. So always remember the phone number and the website, and you're good to go on all of the different services Lead Company has ready for you when you need it. Leadcompany.com, phone number 615-567-1000. Lead Company, let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
Tonight, if you're looking for a place to hang and watch the Predators game, Bud Light Watch Party, Headquarters Beercade. Yeah, drink specials plus a chance to win tickets to an upcoming Predators home game. It's the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade. That location, 114 2nd Avenue South, downtown. Remember, puck drops at 8 o'clock this evening. Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. All right, so we were kind of getting into the free agent talk, and I think it's pretty safe to say I can't imagine that there's going to be any heavy discussions. I mean, Keith Bullock touched on it. I think it's pretty much the sentiment of everybody. I hate it's going to be this way for Rashawn Evans because I've always enjoyed our talks with him. He's a great interview, but, I mean, I think it's pretty clear the writing is big time on the wall for Rashawn Evans. He's a free agent. And Jayon Brown, I mean, even though they brought him back on a one-year deal, I just kind of feel like they're probably moving on from those two. Everybody in agreements or anybody feel differently?
I'm in agreement with that. I want to ask you guys about Zach Cunningham's contract because I think that's the question is what are your options if you do let those guys walk, which they probably will, unless those guys are willing to come back for less. My overall question is the Bill Polian philosophy, and that is how much money do you want to budget when you got to make tough choices with your salary cap for inside linebacker? I think David Long, we know, is a given, right? You've got him.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a given.
He's not super expensive yet, is
I'll
he?
I'll tell you where I'm – no, that's true. But here's where I am – and we don't have to spend too much time on this right now because I know you want to get to Cunningham. My growing concern with David Long is what has he been since he's been here? Mm. He's been hurt a lot. And he hasn't been here that long.
But you don't have to address his contract right now. No question. But he has grown into a player that obviously if you have him.
When he's out there, big time.
They've got the kid from Georgia that they drafted that had to play some. Monty Rice, is that his name?
Yes.
So he's a guy that will be in the mix as an inexpensive guy. So now let's get to Cunningham. Mm-hmm. So he makes 10.5 against the cap next year. But you could, I guess there's not a lot of dead money, as I understand, as I'm looking at it. Would you want to walk away from that, or is 10.5 worth it for him? I guess that would be my question. When he is a ferocious tackler, he is a grade A run defender. But what you hear, and I don't know how the Titans feel,
he's
not a great coverage guy.
Yep.
Right. So that's maybe the difference between him and a guy like Keith Bullock, who mm-hmm. could play any type of defense you wanted. He could cover. He could stop the run. He was great sideline to sideline. He was the all-around linebacker, prototypical. But Cunningham may not be that. So is that too much money to budget for that position? That'd be my only question, because I mean, you got to love the mentality that they had when Zach Cunningham was on the field. But is $10 million too much?
I don't think it's too much considering this day and age. I think that's almost a steal for someone like Zach Cunningham.
What they bring back Jayon for the 1 year? Do you have that in front of you, Willie? I don't remember his exact number. Go ahead, Derek, while we look that up.
I was just saying that in this day and age, that $10 million under the his $10 million toward the cap is not a huge hit for someone that is probably more than likely could get more than that on the open market.
So, 5.3 was what they brought Jayon Brown back for.
Yeah. And just to for perspective, mm-hmm. David Long is under contract next year for basically $1 million. $1
million. Yeah.
Monty Rice, $1 million. You know, and obviously Zach Cunningham is a better option than Monty Rice. But is he $10 million to $1 million better? These are the kind of things that the capologist has to weigh.
I mean,
when you start going down to making the choices.
I mean, if they choose to keep him, I'm sure they would try to redo a deal for him to make
That's
it
another
you know,
question.
More cap friendly. He's still getting his money and maybe some more, but it's more cap friendly moving forward. Jayon Brown might be a little bit different. I'm not going to say it's a definite that they, you know, part ways with him, but he could be another guy that, you know, they don't have to pay him a lot of money to keep him around. And he's a veteran guy that, listen, if he earns the starting job, great. If he doesn't, he could be a valuable backup. We've seen the Titans go through 91 players. So they're going to need you. We can't just assume they're going to start getting rid of all these players, especially on defense. You know, guys like Jayon Brown or moving away from, you know, Zach Cunningham or whether it be David Long. Because it's not just the salary. It's, okay, we need people that know this defense that if something goes wrong injury-wise that they can just step in and get the job done. So I look at guys like David Long and Jayon Brown and Zach Cunningham. I think they would try to work out deals with them to keep them here. Maybe Jayon and David doesn't get huge money. Well, really, Jayon, because
David's not.
Yeah, David's not. He's here.
But what are you going to give Jayon? What are you going to give?
I don't know. That's up to, you know, what is he making now?
5.3 is what he made this season. Just a one-year deal.
You give him around that. You give him somewhere in that ballpark.
Okay.
You know, and extend the deal. Because, obviously, he's not getting more than that in the open market. And he still can be your starter. This guy's a good player. So you still can keep him on your team and not have to pay him a lot of money. And he can be your starter until, say, like somebody like Monty Rice come along and picks up everything. You can't just assume they're going to start, you know, getting rid of, you know, guys like Jayon Brown or Zach Cunningham because of the money that they may be owed.
I think, Willie, to answer your question, the answer is yes on Zach Cunningham. And I think that they already knew that when he passed through, you know, everybody else and landed in their lap. Right?
Now, he might get bigger money somewhere else.
I think that they knew that this was not a stopgap, that they were probably bringing him for future, right, to stick around. Because I think they already knew the lay of the land at that position. I think they were looking for an upgrade. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, Rashawn Evans, it's going to be another first-round pick that's not going to work out and see a second contract here, unfortunately. So it was very clear they were looking to upgrade. I think the way you described him is perfectly laid out. I think he's a guy that is always around the ball, just like David Long. I think those are two guys that are – if you want to know if they're on the field, just find the football – and if they're on the field, they're going to be around it. There's no doubt about it. And there's value in that. He's a big, long guy. You know, is 10.5 too much? I don't know. I mean, I think it's –
well, in a vacuum, it may not be. But on a team where you've got to make tough choices with Saffold and with Luan and other offensive linemen, other players, you know, are you going to try to rework other deals? And what do you want to add? You know, how much money can you carve out to go address some other needs in free agency? That's the only thing that's the only thing that gives me pause.
But he's not old. I mean, he's in the prime.
In the prime of his career. No question.
So it's not about age. He's in the prime of his career. So I think it's a guy they're going to. I don't know how they're going to. You know, monetarily, what they're thinking. You know, if 10.5 is their number, if they're reworking. Like Derek said, I don't know, but I kind of feel like he's definitely in their plans moving forward. That's the way I feel.
You know, Rashawn Evans he's an interesting player. He really is. Because, you know, 19 and 20, that was a good those were two good years for him. I mean, you sort of start to see the light come on for him. Now, this year he only played 12 games. and maybe he got out of favor with the coaching staff. But 19-20, when he played 16 games, he was a factor. So it's interesting. It will be interesting for him moving forward, because it's not like he's been a complete dud, because he hasn't.
Correct. Correct.
He's been a
good, useful guy.
Exactly. He's been a good player. But maybe at that draft position, they wanted more. But if you look at his numbers, 19-20, he's been above solid.
Yeah, but remember, he was a first-round pick.
Exactly, so. And maybe they're looking at the value.
I used to talk to you guys a lot about Corey Davis that way, because if you're only looking at Corey Davis as the fifth pick in the draft, then you're disappointed. Yeah. If you look at him at what he's been, he's been in very similar terms. He's a good, solid player, but what's he worth in the second contract? That's really the decision, regardless of how you got him to begin with.
Yeah, we'll come back, continue the discussion. On the other side, I want to talk to you about Creation CBD. You hear me talk about them every day because they present our show, and they've been a life changer in our house. And if you've got aches and pains on your body like I do, whether it's because you're active, whether it's just because your body isn't cooperating or you're just getting older, there's lots of reasons on why you experience aches and pains, and you're kind of looking for that solution. Well, Creation means healing, and that right there says a lot. Creation is locally and organically sourced CBD products from right here in Middle Tennessee, from seed to final cell. Creation is passionate about providing quality products for everyday use for you and for your pets too. Maybe you have a pet. Maybe you have a dog at home that experiences anxiety, whether it's thunderstorms and when you leave the house. They've got pet products that can help with the anxiety, calm them down. If you have a dog that has medical issues like our female German Shepherd, it's well documented. I've told this story, and it's been a life changer here in our house. She's had seizures for over 3 years, and it didn't matter how many vet visits and how many pills she was on or changing the prescriptions. Nothing ever changed. Unfortunately, the seizures never went away, and they came in bulk. Well, we've had her on the pet tincture since August. We're about ready to go into February, and everything has come to a screeching halt, except for the one time we goofed here a couple of months ago, and we let it run out, and it took us 5 days to get her pet tincture back, and she had a ton of seizures during that time frame, 40 to be exact, and got her right back on the pet tincture. Like I said, our mistake, she hasn't had one since. The proof is in the pudding. Since August, nothing. The one time we ran out of the pet tincture, she had 40 seizures in 5 days. We got her back on in the last couple months, nothing. It's been a life changer for her and for us. Do me a favor. When you check out at creationcompany.com, before checkout, put in the code DDC25. That's going to get you 25% off your order. DDC25, 25% off your order at creationcompany.com. It's Creation CBD, curated for life. Thank you, Matias. You're darn tootin'. That's exactly right. Predators in Edmonton tonight to take on the Oilers. 8 o'clock puck drop. Pete Weber and J.P. Dumont here on these airwaves. J.P. filling in for Hal Gill, who tested positive. Should be back in the mix, hopefully, for the next game, which will be the month of February. February 1st will be their next game. Great day. It's a great day, just saying. I'll have pregame for you at 7. Over on the television side, Bally Sports back at it, so it'll be Willie and his crew getting everything cranked up at 7:30 this evening for their pregame coverage leading up to puck drop at 8 o'clock. Tim Peel, by the way, tweeted out today that said Evander Kane is going to Edmonton, according to his source.
Who?
So we will talk to Elliot Friedman about that coming up at 1 o'clock, which is good stuff. And, oh, by the way, I also saw where the Coyotes are working out a deal with Arizona State to play their games, their NHL games at their arena, which holds 5,000 people.
Hmm.
Will they sell out if that happens? Will they sell out?
Well, if you don't, something wrong.
you're going to get 5,000 fans from the other team for some of their games.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they'll sell out. That is an odd deal.
Good
grief, that is an odd deal. Like they're getting kicked. They're literally getting kicked out of the arena they're playing in. The arena is saying we're done. We're not dealing with you. NHL arena that was built for them years ago.
That's like getting kicked out of your house after it's been built.
By you.
For you. By you.
Yeah.
And then somebody kicking you and your family out. Man.
It's brutal. And by the way, what are they going to do with that arena in Glendale? What are they going to do?
You got me, man.
Glendale, I mean, you can rodeos and
I was going to say, you know. Like Houston, like the Astrodome, just
exactly.
Do rodeos?
Yeah, rodeos and car shows, I guess.
Or maybe turn it into a church.
Yeah, you can do that, too.
Is Joel Osteen looking for a new church?
Yeah.
Maybe to expand in Arizona?
Or you can do cornhole tournaments in it.
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah, there you that'd go. Be fun.
Mm. Barry Manilow would sell that place out so fast.
We could move our Gatlinburg trip to Arizona and have our cornhole tournaments there.
There that'd you go. Nice. Man.
Just need some sponsors, though, D-Mace, you know?
Y'all ain't got no sponsors? Man.
No. Beer, but they're not paying for anything.
Y'all got to change that, man.
We do. So who is on their roster? So Harold Landry. Well, you know, that is the biggest name, right? That is going to be, I think, numero uno. Right? For guys that they've got to have the toughest conversation about. Now, the players are making, you know, their voices heard of, hey, you got to bring back Harold Landry. And, you know, that's pretty typical. Mm-hmm. But general managers also can't listen to players and operate with that. So, what is, you know, everybody's trying to figure out, what is his number? Is that the number you think the Titans should pay? I mean, what if it is $17 million? What if SpotRack says $17 million is the correct number for Harold Landry moving forward per year. Is that a number that they would even entertain?
I mean, at that position, you have to because I'm pretty sure the Titans will get the first shot at re-signing Landry. So whatever that number is, they get to sort of get their chance at getting him at that number or higher. Or maybe he says, you know what, I take a couple million less, stay here. I don't know. But there, you know, there may be some reworkings of some deals to make it happen. I know Byard said he would rework his deal. I wouldn't go that far to be yelling and screaming, I'm reworking my deal. And publicly, I wouldn't. As a player, I just wouldn't. It not to say that if the Titans come to me, I wouldn't, but I wouldn't be voicing it, you know, publicly.
He's the Titans version of Tom Brady.
Well, listen, he hadn't won six Super Bowls or five Super Bowls at the time. So Tom can do that and get his money in the back end no matter what. Well, Byard does that. He may not see that money in the back end, you know? So if they come in, I'm not publicly screaming, I want Harold Landry here, yes, and if there's anything I can do, come to me. But I'm not publicly saying, oh, I'll rework my deal. I'm just not doing that. But they're going to have to find a way to keep him. And, you know, you said $17 million. We don't know if the number is going to be $17 million or whatnot. But it has to be a number where the Titans feel comfortable because they have to do other things around him. It's not like, okay, we got to sign Landry because he's the missing piece. So we got to sign him. No.
I think he's definitely a priority, but this is what I was getting at when you address things like Cunningham. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to try to figure out once you start getting up against it and you want to do all, you have to prioritize your list because on one hand, you say, boy, I'd love to have all these guys. But then you do the math, and it doesn't work. They also have the franchise tag that they could use on Landry. And that's something that's being speculated some. I kind of like that idea. I just think the edge rusher is a bigger priority. That's why I kind of say, would you rather pay a little extra to keep Landry, even if it meant you had to rework Cunningham's deal or just do without Cunningham and do something else in the inside linebacker spot? That was the Bill Polian thing. We had a great interview with him, and he said that they prioritized where they wanted to spend their money, and an edge rusher ranks way higher than an inside linebacker, no matter how good the inside linebacker was. Just like a tackle would outrank in priority a guard, no matter how good the guard was. They felt like they could find the replacement. And I think a lot of teams sort of look at it that way.
I mean, yes, but the Titans, if they just look at his career, he's been okay. He hasn't been great. He hasn't been bad. He's been okay. Well, contract year, all of a sudden, he, you know, 12 sacks. Now, the Titans got to think, is this what we're going to get moving forward? Or is just this one of those one-year contract? Because we've seen this before with a lot of players, and then you get stuck with this huge deal. If I'm a GM, I'm like, listen, okay, we want you here, but go ahead, test the market. I've seen this done by some of the great ones. You know, Ozzie Newsome. Hey, go test the market. We want you here. But if you want it, we will be fair to you. Go test the market. See what the market says. And then we will sort of dictate our contract based upon that. If the market, if we want to give you, say, $17 million, and the market says, well, we only looking at $14 million. Well, then, okay, now we'll bring you back for $15 million. You know, so I just wouldn't all of a sudden dump this huge contract on a guy that has had 1 year. And again, I'm not saying that he's been bad because he hasn't. He has not been bad. But he hasn't been great neither. He's been that solid pro for you. A guy that you can count on basically for the whole season.
Just had a career year.
Exactly.
So how much do you value the career year as opposed to his whole body of work? That's a fair point. But edge rushers are hard to find. They're hard to find.
Not when you have Big Jeff in the middle.
Well, I think that's something to consider for sure. And speaking of that, at some point they got to re-up him, right? That's the guy you want locked up for a long time. That might be the most important piece of your whole defense.
What do you think the rest of the league thinks of Harold Landry? I mean, do you hear a lot of chatter? You hear the national people when they break down Titans games, do they ever bring up Harold Landry?
How many?
My I'll throw it back to you, Bud Dupree. What did he? People were. That was a very expensive pickup. Mm-hmm. I think you could say they're kind of similar kind of production, right? They're not
this past season.
When guys like that hit the mark. No, Dupree's free agent season the year before.
Oh, okay.
When he actually hurt his knee, but he had a huge amount of production, and so you saw what he got. He got big dollars. Why would it be different for Landry? His market value is going to be huge if he hits the market.
Well, here's the big difference. You've watched Landry. You've watched him. You haven't been watching Dupree. You've watched him from a distance, sort of, because you had to play against them. So you didn't know. You saw that, yes, this is a really good player coming from a really good organization, a winning organization. So with a defense that was always stout. So we'll bring him here, pay him a little extra more, and hopefully those intangibles will rub off on everybody else. Well, you've seen Landry. You know what he's about. So maybe he doesn't, because of that, he doesn't get a huge deal. I've seen this where you've had the homegrown player, and either you're going to pay him big dollar because you know he's great, or you're going to say, well, we want him here, but we're not giving him a big number because we know what he is.
Right. That was kind of the Corey Davis.
Yeah.
Right. They were like, we like Torrey Davis, but we know that he can get more, and we're not really willing to go to that level. Right. Because nobody knows your players better than you. Nobody should know your player better than you. The homegrown guys that you've been watching for 5 years. So that's the question, is do they feel differently about Landry than they did Corey Davis? Is there a level they'll go to and say, we're not going above that level? Do they use the salary, the franchise tag to buy themselves some time? Or do they say, you know what, this is a guy we want to invest in. We'll pay a little extra to keep him here.
Well, but
we know him.
But here's the deal. But Dupree could be a cautionary warning as well. Because his last year in Pittsburgh, he didn't play 16 games, and his season wasn't great. And then in 2021, he didn't play 17 games, and his season was okay. It wasn't great either. He started to come on sort of late.
Well, it was because of the ACL.
I understand that. But he could be a cautionary tale as well. Because before that 2019 season, Bud Dupree was Harold Landry. And why do you think Pittsburgh didn't sign him back? Because they knew him. And not to say, I'm not saying Bud is a bad player. He's not. Bud is a good player, but Pittsburgh chose not to sign him back for a reason. It could have all been injury.
It's a great point. It's a great point because I think they felt like when we got Watt, we got who's the other guy? Is it Hayward? Who's their big guy in the middle? They're like, well, we can replace Bud Dupree. We'll find that he's not worth that much money to keep. We can't keep everybody. These are the choices you have to make.
And he's coming off ACL with injury.
Yeah, that's no question. So there was a question mark there. But I do say that when they had Dupree, Autry, Simmons, and Landry together, there was great chemistry between those four. I kind of like the idea of having those guys. But, once again, tough choices to make in the salary cap.
But Big Jeff makes that engine go,
I was going to say.
Man. Big Jeff is
Jeff,
just something.
And Jeffrey Simmons. And by the way, his contract, right? This time next year, we'll be talking about him. And you know who's going to get paid? Big Jeff. He's going to get paid.
He's the priority.
It's Aaron Donald. This is only to me. It's Aaron Donald, then it's Simmons.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. And he's
at
younger.
At least he's up there in that discussion. I mean, exactly. He's up there with all those guys.
There's no question.
You know, Chris Jones and Hayward, all those guys. He is in that discussion with those guys.
But do you have
an option?
He's
going to get paid.
You've got to be planning this out, you know, in a room right now. Like, okay, if we didn't have Landry, what are the options to replace him? Is it, you know, you can go down the list, draft a guy. What's the free agent market looking like? Do we have anybody that's ready to graduate up into that? I don't see that guy that's currently on the roster. So
I just let him go test the market.
I have somebody over there.
If I'm the Titans, I would let him I wouldn't overpay for him. Yes, he deserves to get paid. Absolutely. But I wouldn't, in this day and age, I wouldn't overpay for him. Maybe they let him test the market. And then, you know, go from
there.
Would
you use the tag? Would you consider using the tag?
What is the tag for the
I think it's about $18 million.
I mean, yeah, you could. You can
and that's
use the
for
tag.
1 year, obviously.
Yeah. But then you're not locked into him for, you know, 3-4 years.
Right, right.
Maybe that's a question for I'm not going to say that. I heard Rex Rhodes and Jared, they go back and forth. But I said, maybe that's a question for Jared.
Oh, God. Well, you know, Jared had
as far as
Kevin
the GM,
traded.
You know.
Jared was the GM. Jared was trading Kevin Byard when I was listening to Joe and Robbie the other day.
I'm messing with you, Jared.
He had given up four first-round picks, I think.
Yeah.
Those were all going out the door to get a different quarterback.
But those are things they got to, you know, they're going to have to think about. Harold Landry's a good player. And, yes, we would love to have him on the team. And, yes, he makes our team, you know, our defense better. But are we going to overpay for a guy that had one good season?
Yeah, I'm kind of sifting through the ends that are out there that are going to be free agents. I mean, Chandler Jones is obviously, but he's going to command huge money. Von Miller is out there. I don't think you're replacing. You know, you're not going that route.
He ain't going that route.
You know, Randy Gregory, you're not touching. I mean, give me a break.
He tackles the offensive guys, man. He tackles the offensive line. He tackles offensive linemen.
The last game we just saw, like, no, you're not going after Randy Gregory.
Yeah, he tackles offensive linemen. Come on, you can't have him.
Jadeveon Clowney, they've already done that game, so that's not happening. I'm trying to, you know, do the guys that are up there. And so, let's see. So then there's, what is it, Emmanuel Ogbo? Is that how you say Ogbo? Is that how you say his name? And I guess he's a guy that is going to be intriguing for people. Kind of came on, bounced back with the Dolphins. Melvin Ingram, no, too old, always injured. You know, I mean, there's other ways to do it. I'm giving you the top ones. And by the way, those guys are going to cost a lot of money. So, I mean, there's other guys out there. I'm just kind of picking the top ones in the league, and I don't think any of those guys were really realistic options. But you can also draft, right? It's a position you can definitely draft.
But then you think, okay, if I do indeed go get this player, say if Harold Landry does get that huge contract and you just don't want to match it, and you let them walk, I think you're still at a advantage. You know why? Because of Jeffrey Simmons. Jeffrey Simmons makes those seven guys or those six other guys better. He does because of what the attention he commands from offenses, and it frees up or allows those ends to be one-on-one. So if you do indeed lose Landry, you can say, well, we can bring in a guy, a good player, because we know that Jeffrey Simmons is going to elevate that player by his play, by his attention, what the offense has to do to try to neutralize Jeffrey Simmons. So that's why Jeffrey's going to command a huge dollar, because it's not just what he does for himself. It's what he does for everybody else.
Yeah. Hassan Reddick is another guy at Carolina. So those are all the guys at that position that Pro Football Focus has ahead of Harold Landry, and then Harold Landry is next. So, you know, I don't know if anything really jumped out. Justin Houston is another guy.
I think the thing that jumps out to me is the fact that if you've got a lot of options, that should help you maybe drive the market price down a little bit for Landry. Some years there's only like two guys that are worth anything, and they get overpaid because there's nobody else. Like you go to the grocery store, you know, you need apples. If there's only like two apples, then you got to pay big for the apples, even if they're not that good, if they're bruised a little bit. But if you got a lot of apples, then you can kind of say, okay, I got good choices here. Maybe that helps them get Landry back.
Oh, good stuff. All right, that'll do it for hour number three. We'll come back, begin the final hour with Elliot Freeman from 32 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada. We'll talk to him next.